Hello. That's it. Goodbye.
For the Cunning with Kings podcast. My name's Dylan.
Just a short episode this week. Good morning, goodbye, good day. See you later. I'm Andrew. I don't think he knows who he is yet.
I'm Tyler.
Tyler.
Terrible name, but all right.
It's my cousin's name. Why you don't have family listen to it.
Crap. I already spelled up.
Why? Me, why are you writing?
T-Y? T-Y-L-E-R?
Yeah, yep. I just put the Y first.
Y-I-T-Y-J.
We'll get there eventually.
Really? You think so?
Yeah. A, B, C, D.
What I don't understand is the languages that are like the characters. Like hieroglyphic languages.
Like Japanese?
Like Japanese and Chinese. And
I think the funniest thing ever is 1, 2, 3. No, not 4.
Yeah, but like, for us, you got to memorize like 27 letters. Is that right? 27, somewhere in there.
26.
I got an extra one. And then you got all the different, like, phonetic bullcrap or whatever. But, like, for some of these languages, they're like, okay, this symbol is this word. This symbol is another word. This symbol is another word. This symbol with this symbol means something completely different than both of those together. Here's 10,000 symbols. Memorize them. No!
I wouldn't. I better remember ours our own.
I mean, you wouldn't have a choice, but at the same time, like, memorize 26 letters and then how they go together, or memorize a different symbol for every freaking word. I'm dyslexic.
I think I could do symbols.
Do you know how hard that would be for me?
I mean, if you were born that way, it wouldn't really be that big of a deal.
Dyslexic? Yeah, I was born that way, Malachi.
Me too.
Yeah, but I don't understand how they, because, like, if you reverse things, like, that's what dyslexia is. Reversing a symbol would be a whole lot harder to realize what you're doing. Because, like, with, like, 26 letters, say if you got a word that's, you know, 4 or 5 letters long, 1 or 2 letters can be backwards, and you can still read that word.
Mm-hmm. Unless they're, like, B.
What?
Because if you inverse a B, it's a D, and so it changes the word.
That is very true.
If you inverse a D, it's a B, and then...
Yes, but I inverse a D at the beginning and end of dead. You know, bed is not a word. So you automatically, in your brain,
you spelled bed wrong.
No, I don't.
But you have context around it. You have all the stuff with it. But like with the symbols, it's like
just autistic.
Symbol, 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 symbol. Now, it may be easier. I don't know. It just seems like it would be harder to me.
You know how hard it is to spell my name in lowercase?
I hate lowercase. Lowercase A's look like Q's for me. I just can't do it.
I can't write all manuscript or cursive, so I can't remember either or. Like, I write half of one and half of the other, so.
I can't write cursive either, so.
I can a little bit. Don't ask me to do my last name, though.
Why?
Can't do it.
Like, do any of those really look like A's?
Those are Q's.
Are you just writing Q's and wanting us to believe they're A's? Is that what's going on?
Yes.
No, I just can't, like, the...
Let me see that. You know how
that's a freaking Q.
That's how I write my A's.
It looks like on.
How are you writing the A? Let me see this.
Like a bunch in a row, those are mine.
Yeah, the ones that look like Q's are his.
Okay, yeah, the atrocious handwriting you get from me. I apologize, son.
How do you write your A's? He's going to write like an E?
Probably.
Please don't. That's an L in cursive, bro.
It's close enough. That is an L. That's a perfect L.
Yeah, I know.
But I tried to write an A on this little crack here, and it didn't work out too well.
Fair enough.
I can't read my own handwriting anyways half the time. Like, I try. It's just, I can draw anything, but, like, I get in a hurry when I write, and I don't pay attention, and I can't really feel my fingers that much. So, yeah, like, I look down a lot. Unless I am concentrating, like taking my time, and actually I've worked on it like really hard over the past 5 or 6 years to be able to like write legibly when I want to.
Dude, especially when I was in with talking.
When I was in seminary, oh my gosh. That first like semester, I would take notes and take notes and take notes, and I'd look down and be like, I can't read any of this. And so like I had to like, I'm gonna have to learn to be able to write legibly for myself. Yeah, it's kinda hard to reteach yourself how to write in your 30s.
I hate writing.
I like writing. I suck at it.
Hey, Mama.
Yeah.
Go ahead and hook me up. I was wondering how long it'd take her. So you didn't work any overtime this week?
Nope.
Why weren't you at VBS?
Didn't want to.
You could have come play basketball with us.
I suck at basketball.
Yeah, me too.
That was a complete mess.
You suck.
Uh-oh, you're going to try that one?
Man, that you ate all of those?
That was closer than my can.
You pig, I wanted some.
You do not hand him food.
I was hungry.
Especially when he says, I didn't eat at camp all week.
I literally had... No, I don't like goldfish.
You're weird.
I like real goldfish. Little bite-sized fried nuggets.
It's like... No, it... They just... I don't want that. You know, they give you the food and it just like... They give you leather for sausage.
It's school food. I mean, that's
like
what
it is. If I can do this with my sausage patty, it doesn't break in half. I don't really want to put that in my mouth. You know, it just doesn't look appetizing.
I'll still eat it, though.
If the oatmeal looks like pudding.
No, I don't eat any of the oatmeal and stuff like, no, I'm out.
No, I actually took a bite of, I put it on their plate if I know them. Okay. That's just, that's what I do. I'm a jerk. I took a bite of it this morning for the first time and thought, man, I give that to people.
Now, usually their meat is okay, usually. And like I don't, when they get macaroni and stuff, like I don't do any of the sides and stuff. Yeah, unless kind of made. Like they didn't have eggs and bacon.
The problem is I know where the sides come from, and I know they were boiled in a bag
and dumped out
up and then dumped into a pan.
Yeah.
And that's how the mashed potatoes and what? That's how school food is made.
That's disgusting.
The mashed potatoes boiled in a bag. The macaroni boiled in a bag.
I'm so glad I didn't like mashed potatoes when I went to school.
I mean, it's food. It's just not
the best.
Yeah, you know? The best. Now, like I said, the one morning they did, they had eggs and they had French toast and they had bacon bits. But this was not like little fried crusty bacon bits. This was like somebody cooked bacon.
That's always the last. Yeah.
And then chopped it up
this morning.
And then I was like, I just want eggs and bacon, and they like covered my freaking eggs and bacon. Like it was. The hamburger nights are always good because they get their like beef from like the,
and their fries are good.
I mean, it's French fries, bro. Like,
well, they have like a greaser or a grease machine, whatever you call it, deep fryer, deep fryer.
You got a grease machine.
It works, it works.
Okay, so your two of your siblings are in Florida this week, right?
I already know.
I just want to talk about the geniusness of this thief. He steals their bag at the beach. He steals someone else's bag at the beach. I'm assuming it's a he. They didn't say. I'm just going to say he.
I think they did.
Did they
I
catch
think
they
him? Said he.
Yeah. Did, here, here's how they caught
and
him.
And you don't know.
Yeah.
Well, JC texted me what happened.
Okay.
Here's how they caught him. Okay. He was smart enough to take the bag and just take the cash out of the wallets and stuff, right? But he had stole someone's bag that was close to theirs, and all he stole out of their bag was AirPods and kept the AirPods with him.
You can track AirPods.
Yes, you can.
The owner of the bag was like, here, officer, here's where he is. Like, if you've got...
They get all the cash bag?
No, I think JC was missing some cash, but like her wallet, debit card, everything, like keys and all. But at the same time, like you have enough common sense and like street smarts to be like, I'm only going to take cash. I'm not going to take, you know, debit cards because you can't use them. You'll get tracked, you know, all this stuff. But you took an Apple product. And I don't like Apple, but one thing they do have is if they sell socks, they're trackable. Like Apple has, you could track every, they sell tags that are just specifically for putting on other things to track them. That is how much Apple wants to surveil you. Hmm. Now, granted, I don't like it, but at the same time, if you're going to steal something, don't steal
Apple products. There was a Apple kid products. From one county there that was telling me her mom put a tracker on her in case she wanted to find her through the week. And I was just like, because her mom was an adult agent, I was just like, ugh.
In case she wanted to find her at camp?
Yeah, her mom was an adult leader, but still just...
Just ask.
Ugh.
Like, to me, it's creepy. Like, the Life 360, all the stuff. Like, I like when my older girls, like, share their location with each other. Like, if they're going to go on a date with somebody they don't know, or if they're going to be out somewhere, you know. Like, that, to me, is common sense, for especially for females. Like, that makes sense. But the amount of people I've known that, like, the whole family has Life 360, and, like, they show you how cool it is that they can track everybody. It's like, why? Like, we was talking the other week about kids not being able to get away with stuff. Y'all talking about me, our generation, ruining it for y'all. No, a lot of you guys beg to have tracking devices in your hands. Like,
no. It's nice, but I didn't beg for it.
Yeah, but there's a lot of kids that by the time they're 9, 10 years old, I've got to have a phone, I've got to have a phone, I've got to have a phone.
Well, I mean, like, the convenience, it depends on, like, how you were raised. Because, like, I've had people asking for my phone number to see if I could work for them since I was 9.
Yeah.
And it took me till I was 15.
You got a cell phone when you could pay for it. And now we don't do that as much anymore, but
one
now...
One of your bosses gave you a cell phone at one point.
Yeah.
Well, that was only because we were at the Hayfields a lot.
Yeah, but he was also like, I need to be able to make sure you can, you know... That was pretty cool of him, too. Like, not a lot of bosses do that. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's like, here's a cell phone for you. It's prepaid, just so that you can call for help if you need it in the field. I can get a hold of you.
All the old prepaid phones. I had one of those.
It was awesome. A Verizon prepaid flip phone.
Yep, mm-hmm. Same.
I can't text on them, but I could call, so.
I think I could have texted. I can't remember.
Oh, you could text on a flip phone. It's just the old, I need a C. I got to hit it 3 times.
Yeah, I'm just too stupid. I wasn't figuring
and
out.
And then when they first started going away from that, like they started making it to where you could hold the button down, like when the touch screens first started coming out, mm-hmm. and you could go up and like hit whatever, you know, letter you wanted without having to like hit it.
Why didn't they just make the keyboard?
Because the phones, originally phones were, you call someone. If you needed to type something out, you went to a computer or you got on a like actual freaking typewriter back then.
Or you wrote it.
That's not typing, Dylan.
Well.
That's printing.
People didn't have, no, writing, actually writing.
Yes, printing.
Well, stamp.
Or writing it down, I don't know. Tasia could like be Googling stuff for us and telling us we're all wrong.
I don't think any of that really matters.
You need to know if printing and writing are the same thing.
Now, I looked to my left.
They're not.
And I seen a purple car that I thought was purple. Seen it for a split second. And she's the type that was like, that car is not purple. But yet, she's not going to figure out whether writing and printing are the same
thing. Well, if the car wasn't purple.
Okay. If you call it print, that's just you writing, but not in cursive. That's print. But printing is having a machine that does the printing for you. Mm-hmm. That's what Google said when I looked it up.
You didn't look it up.
We watched you. You're like, tap it, 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 tap. Google says this. Tap it, tap it, tap. I have Google in my beard.
I knew the answer.
You do not have a beard.
I didn't need to look it up.
Why are you so stubborn today? Make Leroy face her so that like maybe she'll behave. So I had two of the agents today.
I can't even see.
I sat down like where the kids were. And they were like, oh, you wait on your parents. Like, my parents show up, I'm running. And she was like, why? I'm like, they're dead. Like, she was like, oh, I'm sorry. I was like, no, it's okay. Like, we make jokes all the time. It's not that big of a deal.
I'll run too.
Well, they said they had one kid that was bragging because they make like $500 a month because their mom passed. And like that's all the other boys in their room were like, I don't think, like, cool, but you know, really got to flex about it, you know? Like,
No, flex. You got dead mama? I got dead mama. What's up, bro?
Well, no, I don't.
You got no beat? I got no beat. What's up? How you doing?
It's like all the guys I've heard over the years swear on their mama's grave. I got to swear on my mama's grave. And be like, does she have a grave yet? Well, no, she's still living. Then quit swearing on her grave. I can swear on mine. Cause she's over there in the ground.
I'm never getting back.
Hey, up. You know.
I mean, she will when Jesus comes
back. You know my favorite 4-H agent, Dad?
Or zombies.
Neil?
Yeah. He thought I was 18.
Yeah. And he thought I was like 50. So shut up.
18, bro. All those kids were like, you're
2 years away. It's less than 2 years.
The kid said I looked 35.
Ouch.
Yeah, no, that's just rude.
I think they were just trying to be mean. I don't really think they thought that.
I don't know. Them kids are. What is this?
Spider web.
Where did the spider web come from?
They might have thought that, but
spider web.
I don't really look 35, so.
Yeah, I get argued with all the time. Like I have to pull my license out to prove I'm as young as I am, all the friggin' time.
Yeah.
I don't.
They did not realize I was born in 2009.
Which I mean, 18 would have been 2007. Come on.
Is Braden actually 2010?
No, it's weird.
No, he's not.
2010 is kind of disgusting, but it's...
That's gross.
Why? You don't like even numbers?
No, it's just 2010.
Yeah, it's just 2010.
And up, they're all screwed.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Well, it's not that bad. I mean...
Like, 2004 was, like, the greatest year. Just
I think the generation...
Except for you were born in that year, so okay, it kind of made it worse.
I think the generations coming up are going to have a terrible time.
I mean, even the kids at camp, middle schoolers, holy.
Well, I think they're going to have a terrible time for multiple reasons. Like, they're not taught personal responsibility. Like, they're going to have a terrible time because of what they weren't taught. Not because they're terrible kids or going to be terrible people, but, like, there's just a whole lot that kids nowadays aren't taught.
Like, respect.
Well, that's one, respect, personal responsibility. There's a lot of them that aren't taught, like... How many of them kids in your cabin? Like, you got, what, 18 kids in a room?
I only had, like, 12.
Okay. But, like, a full cabin's 18, right? Yeah, it is. 9 beds, 2 per bed.
Girl side just is smaller.
Oh, you were on a girl side. I forgot about that. But anyway, so you got 12, 14 kids in there, right? How many of them right now, if you left them at home for a week, could survive?
I think they could all survive.
But when you got home, what would the house look like?
The same. And they'd probably just be on, like, a tablet.
Yeah.
I don't know, because...
Thought you had a bag there for
the adult leader that brings her son every year. You know who I'm talking about. I'm not trying to just name bomb everyone that went to camp. But she was talking about how... Even though he has a back-talking problem, and she knows he does, as far as, like, responsibility goes, all the kids get home before her. He'll make dinner for them all. He'll cook them all breakfast. Mm-hmm. He'll take care of them all until she's home. He'll get them up in the morning. Like, she's like, as far as, you know, responsibility goes, he's not the worst kid I could have asked for, you know?
Yeah. And that's with the smart aleck thing. I don't mind a kid with a smart mouth as long as he listens. Like, if I ask you to go do something and you're smarting off the whole time, but you're going to do it, I'd much rather that than the kid's like, yeah, I'll do that, and then disappears and doesn't do it.
Oh, I hate that.
That drives me insane. But, like, if you won't fuss a little bit, yeah, that's fine. But as long as you do what you're told, like, obedience is way better than sacrifice. Yeah. But then you get a lot of kids that are just like, yeah, I got you, and then they don't do a thing. And it's like, okay, no, that's not what I asked for. You got adults like that, too. Like, at the factory, they'd ask me to do something, and be like, screw you, I ain't doing nothing. And I'd be like, yeah, I mean, I'm going to do it. And, you know, I'd just be messing with them. But then you'd have people be like, yeah, I got you, and you'd leave. You'd come back the next day, and they'd be like, oh, I forgot. No, you didn't forget. You just didn't want to do it, you liar.
No, I mean, sometimes you do just forget.
It is hard to forget your job.
No, it's not.
You were supposed to run that marker machine, dadgummit. Why did you not run that marker machine all day?
I forget to do a lot of stuff. That's just because I forget a lot.
Yeah. I do now. Like, it took me 4 or 5 trips to get in the car the other day. Because every time I got in the car, I'm like, wait a minute, I missed my cell phone. crap, my wallet's inside, you know.
Okay, I don't forget that. You got to check. Before you walk out of that door, you do the pocket check.
Usually, I don't even have to do the pocket check because everything's already in my pockets. But I had actually, like,
I always do
unloaded my pockets. I hardly ever unload my pockets unless they get unloaded directly into another pair of pants.
Or
I do the two back pockets because my phone and my wallet are, and the two front for my knife and my AirPods, and then I walk out the door.
Got them AirPods on, so you're trackable.
Not the AirPods. I have something else. But
knock off, same, cheap.
They're same thing. Same thing.
Oh.
He has the same earbuds as me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Don't y'all have skull candy?
No.
Mm-mm.
They're called Sound Peats. They're like $80 on Amazon.
I got mine for 60.
You bought them off the website, didn't you? I like the compactness of the case. Yours is like a cinder block. There's no need in all that.
Put my case next to his.
Holy crap.
That's what I'm saying. Look at how thick that is.
I mean,
that's ridiculous.
You guys are insane. There's barely a difference there.
You're just trying to side with him.
No,
to
make him feel you guys. Like,
this is a big difference.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a decent difference, right. Especially for your pocket.
It's not even double.
Hang on. Let me do that.
Both of those together.
Pretty much two.
I haven't charged my case in 3 months.
I don't mind putting my case on the charge. That doesn't hinder me.
I haven't charged my case in 3 months, and I listen to anywhere from four to like six hours of audio a day on my Bluetooth. And that case hasn't been charged in 3 months. That's why I like this case. I do not have to think, oh, God, it's going to be dead.
But it's broken, and it won't disconnect when you put your earbuds in, and you have to sit there and make sure you did.
You just
put
them in, right? You just cut my Bluetooth off.
That's annoying.
Yeah, I know, right?
I used to have to do that a lot.
Put it this way. I mowed the yard the other day for 2.5 hours, right? And when I put them in the case, they were at like 95%. I cut my Bluetooth off, went all that day and almost all the next day. With them sitting there constantly trying to connect, went and cut my Bluetooth back on, they connected, and they were still at 90%.
Hmm.
So they used 4% in 14, 15, 16 hours of just sitting there searching for a connection. And so, like, it's hard to beat. I've had some good ones in the past. I've never had ones that last this long. That's like that stupid speaker right there. It stayed unplugged for probably 4, 5, 6, 7 days, and they played it at her party, and they played it when we went all over to Papa's and all them, and like it's supposed to only last like 16 hours on charge. I'd probably run 40. Like, I like things that they underrate them on purpose.
Yeah,
like a lot of products do not do that. A lot of products are like, oh, it lasts 12 hours and it lasts 8, you know. Or like the whole, like, y'all probably aren't familiar with the horsepower issue with, like, the small engines, like lawnmower engines and stuff a while back. They were all basically lying about their rating. Like, if it was a 24-horse engine, it was actually like a 22.5. And so, like, and it's really not that big of a deal. But
it's a huge deal, man. What are you talking about? Come on now.
I mean, it kind of is. It was like that extra horsepower and a half can make a difference, on mowing especially. But, like, at the same time, like, there was a huge hoopla about it, and it's like, it's, I mean, we know they're liars. They're trying to sell products.
Yeah.
Prime example, Ford, 7.3 IDI, 7.3 Power Stroke. The year they were wanting to swamp, they lied about the numbers.
Power Stroke sucked.
Like, the IDI actually was just a little bit stouter. No reason to lie about it. You can say the IDI is a little bit stouter, but we're coming out with a new engine that we think will be better in the long run. That's all you got to say. Like, give us the benefit of the doubt. Don't be like, well, this new engine's better. Well, it's not technically better.
The Power Strokes are junk.
They're good engines. They're darn good engines. One of the main things that made the original 7.3, not the 6.0 and all that crap now, but like the original 7.3, what made it such a bulletproof engine was, if I remember right, it was the oil-fired injectors. If you got low on oil, it quit. Like, you couldn't burn it up. And I think that's what really made that engine last so long for a lot of people. Because, like, if it run low on oil, it just quit running until you fill it back up with oil. So, like, you couldn't run it out of oil.
That's not that bad.
I mean, they're not worth 2 cents, the new ones.
All the new ones? No.
Well, now
that thing that, what is that one? That four door he's got, Sandusky.
No, that's a gas burner.
Just no, I'm pretty sure it's a Power Stroke. It's not.
Which one?
The big one. The
350? No, it's a V10.
But it's a Power Stroke model, ain't it?
Yeah, but it's a gas burner.
You sure?
Yeah.
Even Mr. Trevor's wasn't worth anything.
It was
big diesel.
It was one of the newer engines. And part of the problem too is they're focusing so much on horsepower, in my opinion. And like they're getting beyond.
They're not making trucks anymore. They're making big cars.
Yeah. Well, like the new F-350s last year, I think, or the year before. You know, like they're bragging about 900 something horsepower, but you can't get it with a manual transmission. Only comes with automatics, and then they won't guarantee or warranty their automatic transmissions because there's not a transmission out there designed to have 900 freaking horsepower in front of it trying to pull stuff. Yeah. It's like you're just putting way too much pressure on the daggum transmission, and then they won't even warranty them and like replace them for people because they know, oh, we're making a mismatch of power. It's going to cause problems.
Well, I was like going to take Allie's car, but I wanted to drive my manual.
That's because Allie's car sucks.
Not really.
Dadgum Grand Marquis.
Thing has it has power. Right? It has power.
If it had a throttle,
it has a great air conditioner.
If it had an actual throttle position sensor on it, where I could change it and fix that stupid idle problem, I'd feel a lot better about it. No, we got the one model that doesn't have a TPS. It's built into the freaking throttle body housing. It's all electronic.
I like the. You hit that thing, get gas after that lag. That thing gets up to speed. They're fast little cars.
Oh, they're good cars, but like it's always that lag. I hate the fact that it's.
See, that's because you're too. You don't want to just rev the gas. I just shoved the gas.
Mine didn't lag.
You want to swap throttle bodies with me?
That's my mom.
Just drive it over here, man.
You're just spins out.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like it's about to fall apart every time you hit the brakes.
Yep.
The whole car is doing this when you hit the brakes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, but Dylan's tires are always so bald they have the same traction that your feet would on a soapy ground. Like if you just poured dish soap on your linoleum and tried to keep your footing, that's how bald his tires are. I mean, the boy pulled up in his truck a couple weeks back, and we were all like, you're not leaving here tonight. You're going to sleep at our house, and then you're going to drive 4 miles or less directly to the daggum tire shop. When I can see the wires in your tire from my deck, something's wrong.
Yeah, definitely.
I think we could have made it to
if there is just as much wire showing as there is rubber, we got a problem. Tires are supposed to be rubber, which I do think, like, how many years have we been using tires? Look that up, Mama. Find out when the first tire was used.
Probably, like, back in the day.
Like,
the
actual
wheel, but, like,
yes, automated. Like, actual, like, rubber tire, right?
Hang on, I'm going to guess. 19.
I want to say, like, 1848. I'm going to say, like, 1884 or something.
Did you just say 1948?
Yep.
You're an idiot.
Because cars.
The 1900s.
I forget what cars. That's the 19, not 18. Did I? I don't know.
You said 19.
I said 19. I meant 1948. Yeah, 1948.
The first commercially successful. Hang on, AI is wanting to do stuff. Not interested. Go away. All right, the first commercially successful rubber tires were invented in the 1840s, following Charles Goodyear's discovery of vulcanization.
Yeah,
this I want to resell my own tire. It just looks fun.
In 1839, made rubber more durable and resistant to wear and tear, enabling the creation of practical rubber tires.
Okay, so the 1840s to now, so that's close to 170, 180 years, somewhere in there? Mm-hmm. And we still haven't come up with anything better. Because if you really think about it, okay, you're on this big pile of rubber, right? And if you're in a dump truck, you're loaded with 45,000 pounds. You're putting a whole lot of faith into this really supple, just weaker than piss material that's holding up 40-something thousand pounds.
Why can't they just make it all rubber?
It wouldn't ride right. It'd be too rough is the problem. But that's the thing. Why have we not come up with some other way of doing this? Foam
material that could do it.
They've done it with a few, but the problem is it's still, there's no way to really balance it, is the issue you run into. Like the rubber density would be different, and then like it doesn't have the cushion. But then you got the military has the tires, it has the holes.
We'll just make the rubber density the same, if it'll be different.
You still run into the same problem. It's still skinned in rubber, which is
weak. Or we all use tracks.
What about like the hex tires?
Like the military ones I was talking about?
Like the lawnmower ones?
Yeah.
I don't know if the military used them.
But. Yeah, they go on Hummers in some instances. They've been working on them for years. But that's what I'm saying. Like, why have we not come up with something
Hear me out.
Different?
Stars.
Like Ninja Star tires? I mean, they'd have good grip.
They'd stab the ground every time you
exactly. Drove. You think we have potholes in our roads now?
Just like rubber, you know, like but like
thick like a rubber. Big rubber, like a big thick rubber star.
Why do we put air in it? It doesn't make sense.
It's because it's got to have air in it to hold. But that's what
I'm
saying.
Just get solid rubber. I've seen solid rubber. Or make half of it solid rubber.
Or memory foam.
Make that bottom. Shut up, Dylan. make like an inch of it solid rubber so when a nail goes through, it doesn't just puncture it immediately.
Give me flying cars already.
No, those guys who thought we would have flying cars already are retarded. There's no
Back to the Future 2015.
I mean, where's my flying car?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't. The logic behind a flying car. Like, all the movies can't explain why we just, like, flip it, and it's like, wah, and there's nothing else to it.
I mean, it's magic. Duh.
Yeah, stupid.
I mean, you look at all the ancient cultures and their drawings and junk, and, like, all the gods that they depict had flying crap that's flying around with.
You just have to have something that can use the earth magnetation or
magnetism.
Magnetism.
I like magnetization, though. I'm going to put that for now.
Or gravity to just push itself up.
So you need like an anti-gravity engine?
Exactly.
Yeah. I think they have all that crap. They just don't let us know. I think the people who built the pyramids had all that junk. I think there's vast amounts of civilizations that have been deleted.
Aliens are real because who in the world thought, let's just put all these beads here and do all this and... It's going to automatically shift when you hit the gas pedal. Yeah, no one. The freaking aliens dropped that off.
Could have.
First time I looked
at it. I don't think they're aliens. I think they're fallen angels, but, you know.
First time I looked at a freaking automatic transmission, I was like, what is even happening? Like, you take the cover off, and there's all these beads, and they're like, don't mess anything up. And it's like.
Yeah, all the little balls and all the different vials and channels, and, yeah. But the problem is this, like. I don't think there's aliens. I think there's, you know, fallen angels and demonic powers that can manifest and, like, they come in as aliens. And
why no aliens?
Because...
They're gay.
Cruel.
I mean, they do stick things in people's butts.
Do you?
Like, the number one thing... I think that's all for, like, genetic manipulation. I think it's fallen angels. I think they masquerade as aliens. I don't think they really care what we call them. They're just... We're stupid and they play with our genetics. That's why you got the races of giants in the Bible. That's why you had the men of old, the great men of renown. That's why all cultures have some instance of a god breeding with women, and then all of a sudden you get superhuman beings. Like, that's all from every culture in history. You go back as far as you want, it's listed in cultures. Most of the origin stories are very similar. Most of, like, there's a worldwide flood in most, you know, ancient religions. Dinosaurs didn't exist till the 1940s. Like, they were dragons before that, but... There's so many people that are like, you know, we're getting smarter.
No.
I don't think we're getting smarter or dumber. I think we're limited to what we have.
I think some people think that, like, what if Star Wars was just in the past?
And this is...
And now we're just all idiots.
Yeah. And I mean, well, if you look at, for instance, the pyramids. And not just the pyramids in Egypt. There's megalithic and monolithic structures all over the world that we can't replicate now. Okay? And one other thing, like with the Egyptian pyramids and like the Sphinx and all that stuff, will you do me a favor? Will you look up how far away the pyramids are from the capital, and then look at the Sphinx and all. Like, tell me the distances between like the main part of Egypt and where the pyramids and all were.
Who is? Yeah, they're not. They're not far from the. Is it the equator or something like that?
Point of something. I forget. Oh, I think they're like dead on with it.
Yeah.
And they're lined up with several stars. Like, well, that's the pyramids and stuff all over the world, like South America, like everywhere. They're all meticulously lined up to stuff that we have trouble tracking now without computers and all this knowledge. And then you got ancient cultures throughout the world that talked about other beings visiting them and God showing up and giving them technology. And like, everybody wouldn't have the same stories if there wasn't some truth to it. Like, it wouldn't matter if all of us didn't understand technology and some dude come flying in here with a gun and we had never seen a gun. He would be a god to us if that technology was unbeknownst to us and it was things that we couldn't fathom. Mm. So, like, you go back in time, like the Indian legends is from, like, India, like dot, not feather, right? But a lot of their ancient gods and stuff would have depictions of this giant, like, you know, rounded flying machine. And was known that he could fly around and do stuff with his machine. Okay, maybe he had a flying machine. Maybe he was some type of hybrid alien human or demon human or whatever. And he had knowledge beyond us. Nikola Tesla walking through the park, sees a vision in his head and draws a daggum modern electric motor out and we still use it.
I think that, who was that?
What'd you say?
I had a friend who thought Nikola Tesla was still alive. So,
I mean, he could be. So, Elvis is still alive.
Just because Tesla's
remaining. Elvis ain't dead. He just left the planet.
People think that he's at some kind of pasture in, like, some place.
Yeah.
Because they look the same and sing the same.
There's people that, like, absolutely fell in love with that man for some reason. What's the distance, Mama?
The pyramids of Giza are located approximately 13 kilometers or 8 miles southwest of downtown Cairo.
Okay. Right. And they were built as tombs. Look how, what's the distance between the Valley of the Kings and the pyramids? Okay. The pyramids were built as tombs. That's what you've been taught.
Yep.
That's what Egyptologists and everybody tells us. Worldwide history tells us that the tombs were what the pyramids were. There wasn't a freaking mummy one found in them. Most of them don't have, like, hieroglyphs and carvings on the inside. Like, they are completely not tombs.
The pyramids at Giza and the Valley of the Kings are approximately 563 kilometers or 350 miles apart.
So all the mummies were found 350 miles from the most giant tombs that Egypt built. Don't make no sense to me. It ain't no tomb. Like, if you study them, there's new seismic data that, you know, where they've done, like, underground radar and scans and stuff, and they're showing, like, giant structures under the pyramids. And so there's a bunch of people that are like, we want to put some money together. We want to get some teams. We want to go in there and find out what these things are, whether they're really structures or whether it's just natural stuff. And they're like, no, it's nothing. It's just sand. You're idiots. Okay.
You think there's people down there?
I don't know if people, but I think the pyramids are giant energy machines. Like, that's what I think they were designed to do, was harvest the energy of the earth. All across the world, I think all the pyramids were strategically placed for energy production.
I don't know if this is true, but I saw a video about a family that, like, lived underground for multiple generations in a shelter.
Well, I mean, I fully believe.
Because they lived off of rainwater and, like, you know, food, because they
grass and drippings from the ceilings.
They went out.
I mean, that's essentially.
But they basically went in shelter at one of the, like, warnings and then just never came out.
Which, I'm kind of a Vernian, like Jules Verne, Journey to the Center of the Earth. I kind of think there is ancient underground civilizations all over the place. I think most of them are in Antarctica.
Good and Lagon.
Considering Antarctica, like, if you look at it, the maps from the 14 and 1500s have it on the map. But then they also show civilizations and ports and cities and stuff on it.
We didn't know about Antarctica until then.
But then in the 60s, no, we didn't know about it until what? Tell me when we supposedly discovered Antarctica.
That's what I'm saying. You
know, but I'm saying, like, 1609. Yeah, then the 1700s, 1800s, Antarctica disappears from the maps all of a sudden. Why? Why would you disappear an entire continent unless he's trying to cover something up? If we never saw dinosaurs until the 1940s and 50s, and we 1820. Really...
1820.
Okay. 1820. But yet it's on the maps in the 1400s. And like the dinosaurs and stuff. Okay. If we didn't know dinosaurs existed and they were prehistoric and all this stuff, why are there tombs over in Europe and some of the churches and stuff that have perfect depictions of different dinosaurs inscribed around the tomb? Why do you know the legends?
Dragons would have been freaking cool.
That's what me and Aaron think. Me and Aaron think they were dragons.
That's what they were.
Wings can't really fossilize, kind of.
Well, I mean, I think they were, you know, all of them were dragons, whether they had wings or not, and we lived with them. That's the giants, you know, there's legends of giants throughout all cultures. A lot of the Native Americans had the red-headed giants that lived in the hills and the caves. You still have people, there's accounts of them actually still being, like, battles going on with them between military members and them of, like, the giants of Kandahar overseas, like... There's legends and stuff all throughout cultures and histories, and you get people that are like, well, if giants existed, we'd know they were here. Really? You think something can't hide on this planet? Like, people have a misunderstanding of how freaking big this place is.
Well, I mean, like, how much of the Amazon?
Like, what, 5 or 10%?
Has actually been
discovered? Yeah.
Same with the ocean.
It's like they just found it was a shark. I forgot what kind of shark it was. But a shark they thought that went extinct like 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And they just found like a whole crap of them.
There was a fish back in late 90s, early 2000s that was extinct and all they had was fossils of it. And then like they start catching it off the coast of Madagascar. And you're like, oh shit, we were wrong. Like, duh. But it's the assumption of, based on the knowledge I have now, I am correct and always will be. Yeah. It's the inability to say, okay, I believed this because of the evidence that was presented to me and available at the time. But now that the evidence and facts have changed, you must adapt your opinion. If you don't, you're an idiot. Yeah. Like, there are certain things that, like, when you're faced with them, you got to go, okay, that's we was talking about the pyramids earlier. Like, you've got weights of these stones that are hard to comprehend, right? Like skid loader. We throw a skid loader on the trailer. We throw the brush clear and all that on it. You're looking at 12,000-13,000 pounds, right? How difficult is it on that truck?
It depends on who's driving.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying though. Like it, you still know it's back there, even with the powerful vehicles. You're moving 13,000-14,000 pounds. With the trailer, it's on rubber, okay? Now, let me get something that is 200 tons, which is, you know, 400,000 pounds. I'll get my calculator here because Tasia won't get her calculator out quick enough for me. Like, let's just do the sheer math on that. Let's say 400,000 pounds divided by 13,000. Okay, we're going to put 31 of them skid loaders and things together.
Why?
And then you're going to move it. Find me a vehicle that can move it. Find me tires that can support it. Like, according to Egyptologists and a lot of people, they think that these massive stones were put on logs. And then you had a whole bunch of slaves that hooked them up to ropes, and then they pulled them across the desert, right? Most of the quarries that this stuff come from is like over mountainous regions and junk.
That's why dinosaurs and dragons did it.
I don't even think they did. The wood they had available in the region, right? You put a couple hundred tons on it, it's just going to mash flatter than a pancake. They didn't have wood hard enough to hold this stuff up. They had trouble moving things like quarter of the weights much, much later in history when we had steel ball bearings and like metallurgy and like it's insane the amount of weights that this stuff is. And people are just like, well, I did it with ropes and a lot of people.
How do you know they weren't just strong?
That's the whole big strongness.
They're all
maybe what the if Giants just, did it.
The Giants. The Giants could have helped. But you're also looking at, I think they had technologies we didn't have. How do they describe? They found holes that are bored like perfect. And I mean absolutely perfect. No cut marks, nothing. Only way to explain it is a sonic drill. Sound waves, vibrations. Certain chambers you can go in the pyramids that if you chant just right, the entire chamber resonates. There's groups of people right now that have been working with vibrations and frequencies of stuff and like have actually, they're very secretive about it because like imagine you had a technology that could completely destroy the entire energy industry and like transportation industry. You'd probably have a couple trillionaires gunning for your head as fast as possible. So like you gotta be real secretive with this stuff. But like everybody assumes that like the technology we have now is more advanced than the technology they had then. Because look at all the advancements we've made, right? But the problem is this. We went metal, gas, combustion engines. We went towards the industrialized. We're going to use certain tools and certain technologies. And because we are so focused on making better gas engines, using fossil fuels, all, you know, all this stuff, there's a whole nother, like hundreds of aspects of technology and stuff that we have not explored. Because this is better. Why? Are we sure it's better? Like, is this really good technology? Like, there's, you know, accounts of people back in the day and all the priests would get together and they'd chant their magic words and, like, stones would levitate. You think maybe they were using vibrations and sounds and frequencies? It's already proven, like, everything vibrates at a certain frequency. If you can resonate with it, you can do all types of crazy things with it. Like, why do they break formation when they go over bridges? Will you look that up for me?
Huh?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Why does the military break formation when they go over bridges? Okay.
The military, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I was like, who is they?
Yeah. I was like, who are we talking about?
Who is they?
Something I don't know? Like, I mean, I don't know a lot, but still.
Why is an earthquake so devastating?
Because it's an earthquake.
Yeah, but why does it cause so much damage?
Because such, the plates and all that crap.
Yeah, but the widespread damage is caused by massive amounts of vibrations. You take everything and you start going, doesn't matter what it is, it stuff comes apart.
I think they should
do it. Do you want the answer?
Yeah.
Military units break step or route step when crossing a bridge to prevent resonance, a phenomenon that can cause the bridge to vibrate and potentially collapse.
You got enough people walking across the bridge, not chanting, not jumping up and down, not microphones, nothing, just their feet. If they are all in unison, can cause a vibrational frequency that will hit the resonance of that bridge and can tear it to pieces. Vibrations and sound is a technology we desperately need to actually start looking into.
You know what I just thought of?
What?
Walls of Jericho.
Exactly. They marched seven times. They marched around them once every day, right? Blowing their horns and junk. And on the seventh day, they done it seven times. They marched louder and they blew their horns and they cheered and chanted. All in unison, all together. And the walls just fell down.
They vibrated the wall.
There's technologies and powers out there that are way more advanced and could potentially benefit society way more than the crap we have now. But it's the same as when Christ come onto the scene. He says, hey guys, I'm going to tell you exactly what's going on because not only was I here when I made the world, I'm here now to save it, right? And all the priest, the reason the priest had such trouble with it is, if he comes in and he erases my authority, I no longer have power. Same thing nowadays. Like back in the 80s, there was a guy that claimed he had a car that ran on water. He disappeared. Guy claimed he could make any carburetor go 80 miles to the gallon. He disappeared. Like anything you have that challenges the status quo of the rich people, like, and not just like I got money. I'm talking about retard rich that run everything are you're challenging their authority and their power, and that's why people die. That's why we're not studying these other technologies, is because it would completely eliminate them.
Think about how long houses would last if you strapped vibrators to the side for final inspection, and then you just like earthquake tested it before, like that was inspection.
Mm-hmm.
A house got earthquake tested.
Do you know what's going to happen here when the New Madrid finally trips again?
Who's New Madrid?
You familiar with Real Foot Lake?
Nope.
Mama, bring it up for me. Get off your phone. You got a lot of Googling to do tonight. I'm going to go for the trash can without you cutting the camera off.
Hang on. Same.
Okay, hang on. Wait. We're all going to go at once.
It's on.
3, 2, 1. I got the closest. We should just not pick cans up for like 5 episodes and then just take a picture of the just massive litter of failure.
No, not.
We've made it before, though. We've done it once.
What do you want me to look up?
New.
She's rocking.
Look up Real Foot Lake and its creation. Yeah. Why is Lucy rocking?
I'm going to say it's from the air that you all created when you threw. Like it created. She is really rocking. Oh, Malachi was touching her foot.
Oh, now, yeah.
Yeah, now he was touching her foot. I don't think he touched her before. Listen, chick, chill out. She come from Hank too.
She came from Goodwill.
Are you sure?
Yeah, Amanda picked her up at Goodwill.
Yeah, but she come from them, so like they could have took her home and been like, "Let's take some of the ghosts in our house and put her in Lucy real quick."
We will burn it tonight.
Absolutely.
You ain't burning Lucy. Listen, number one mistake most people make. You get a haunted object, right?
Yeah.
You're going to take it and you're going to burn it.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a dangerous animal in a cage and then I break the cage, doesn't necessarily kill the animal. Sometimes if you've got something trapped in something, you leave it in that something.
Yeah, but if I get powers, it's a win-win situation.
You're not going to get power. You're going to get taken over by a demon and die.
I could be like Utah, bro.
Like, you got to think about it. Powers are real.
Oh, yeah, they are. But you don't get them through normal means. I mean, the guy I knew that could light cigarettes with the palm of his hands, he didn't get his powers by just being superhuman. He got his powers by making pacts with devils and demons. The, you know, carvings I've seen appear in people's flesh when nobody was there. The people I've seen that had influence over people and had powers and stuff like that. All of them got them through demonic forces.
I think there's a way we could do it scientifically.
Yes and no. There are a way we can do it scientifically, but even a lot of the ways scientific people do it is through demonic pacts and powers.
I think we need to start working on vibrations.
Good vibrations? Okay, anyways, go.
What am I looking up? The New Madrid Fall Hunt?
Yes, and then Real Foot Lake, its creation.
Do you want me to read to you about the New Madrid Fall Hunt?
Yes, so that Malachi knows what it is.
All right. The New Madrid Seismic Zone is a region of active fault lines located in the central Mississippi Valley, primarily in northeastern Arkansas, southeastern Missouri, western Tennessee, western Kentucky, and southern Illinois. It's known for experiencing large and damaging earthquakes, most notably by the 1811 to 1812 series, which were some of the largest earthquakes in North America.
We have earthquakes here?
Yes. We've had several in the past couple months. Mm-hmm. Not here where we're at, but all along that zone. But here's the issue that most people don't realize. It's a very, very large fault line. And because of the type of rock we have, like over in California, you got like sandstone, a bunch of like weaker rocks. So they trip fairly often. This one is all like granite and limestone and like good solid rock. So it doesn't trip as often. It just keeps building up pressure and building up pressure and building up pressure. And when it does jump, it does stuff like Real Foot Lake. Go.
Real Foot Lake was formed by a series of powerful earthquakes that occurred in the winter of 1811 and 1812, known as the New Madrid earthquakes. These earthquakes were so strong that they caused the Mississippi River to temporarily flow backwards and the land to sink, creating a depression that eventually filled with water, forming the lake. The lake is located in the northwest corner of Tennessee.
Does it tell them how many acres it is?
Tennessee.
If I remember right, it made the Mississippi River, the entire dadgum river, flow backwards for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's right. I was thinking 3.
Exactly.
Hang on.
Now, you talk about sheer power. Tennessee. That's in Tennessee.
Why don't y'all not tell me about stuff?
Malachi, when we went to the Discovery Park of America.
That was the earthquake experience.
Earthquake experience. They did the video. The ground dropped on us. Like it was like a little.
I was 12.
Okay, but like.
I've slept since then.
Well, fair enough.
But anyways, it was like a couple, I think 12, 13,000 acres that sunk like 12 or 13 foot at once. But that was then. That was 1812.
That's okay. Why I think vibrations has always been like a cool power.
Yeah, but 1812, it hasn't tripped that big since then. And it did that when it tripped then.
It just says for several hours.
Yeah.
It float backwards. February 7th.
And that's what caused it. If I'm right, that's what caused it to feel the depression in the land, because it just flowed the river backwards and floated into the. And they felt that one like far, far away. But at the same time, you think like how powerful, and like we see earthquakes in California left and right all the time. You hear about them every other day. They're all over the world. But like the last time this one done something, it done something.
It is 15,000 acres.
You think?
Real foot lake covers flooding, 15,000 acres.
I think instead of flooding, it starts earthquakes.
What do you mean, just starts earthquakes?
Just like, you know, because, you know, he promised never to flood the earth again.
Yeah, this time he's going to do it with fire.
It opens up a freaking giant crater into the center of the earth and
it sucks us all down. But I mean, like, it's earthquakes are terrifying. I've felt a small tremor before, like when I've been in the mountains. But I've never felt like an actual, like, whole ground shaking. But can you, 15,000 acres says, oh no, I'm just going to drop 15 or 20 foot because I'm being shaken that much. Like, that's a lot of land.
We had one not that long ago, apparently.
Yeah, we've had several.
Well, when I went to my tattoo, mm-hmm. There was one that morning. I never felt it.
Where?
We don't.
I can't remember.
A lot of them we don't feel. They are. Brandon felt several of them. Like, they hit his area.
Well, he was really close to.
The mountains?
Yeah, he's close to mountains, and he's close to, like...
Yeah, but just because you're close to mountains doesn't mean there's an actual fault line and, like, seismic zone. But, like, yeah, they've been increasing a lot. Like, when I was a child, I don't remember hearing about them hardly ever, and now, like, I hear 3 or 4 a year, at least, in Tennessee.
I don't hear about anything. I've not heard about any earthquakes ever.
No, you hear about them, you just filter them out.
No.
Because I talk about this stuff all the time.
Not to me.
I've been talking most of my life to you, and now I just now realize
you, said a little you ain't while been ago listening. That you'd never heard of Real Foot Lake. And then Dad and I broke down how you had, and you said, I've slept since then.
How would I have heard of somebody with a foot lake? Like, make that make
you
sense.
You hear of things. You just don't live.
Why is it called Real
in
Foot? Who made that name?
Would you look up the legend, please?
There's a legend behind it?
Yes.
Why is he called
Pissed Real Off Indian? And he's like, screw you guys. And then also,
so you're telling me they think it's some kind of curse from an Indian, and that's why the whole world shook and the pool thing.
The whole world didn't shake, just Tennessee
the
and
legend of Real Foot Lake centers on a Native American chief with a deformed foot named Real Foot, who, according to the story, angered the Great Spirit by abducting a princess. This act caused the Mississippi River to flood the area, creating the lake. The historical reality that Real Foot Lake was formed by the New Madrid earthquake of 1811-1812, which caused the Mississippi River to temporarily.
So there were still Native Americans?
There's still Native Americans now.
No, when that all happened, like it was still like a big, like.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But that's the big thing that, like,
in
always.
18 what?
12.
A Chickasaw chief's son was born with a deformed foot, causing him to walk with a rolling motion. He was nicknamed Real Foot, meaning rolling foot. Realfoot, saddened by his deformity and longing for love, travels south to find a princess to marry. He finds the beautiful daughter of the Choctaw chief, Chief Copia. Chief Copia refuses to give his daughter to Realfoot due to his deformity. Realfoot, in defiance, abducts the Choctaw princess, Laughing Eyes, and takes her back to his people. The Great Spirit, angered by the abduction, causes the earth to shake violently. The Mississippi River reverses its course and floods the land, creating Realfoot Lake. The water rushes in, covering the land and burying Realfoot, his bride, and his people.
Can you imagine being that dude, though?
We know what they say about
the legend provides, right? A captivating explanation for the lake's formation, while the historical truth
angered
is rooted in the powerful forces of nature.
A spirit.
The Great Spirit.
Who is the Great Spirit?
So this is all fake?
You never know.
I believe in one spirit.
I believe
the Holy Spirit.
I believe,
amen, brother.
I believe that God created all types of beings.
Well, yeah, because but I don't think he...
I have heard the argument from people. It's like, well, the Bible doesn't mention all this other beings, so they weren't created. You think the Bible is a complete comprehensive history of all of the universe?
Yes.
You read Genesis 1:1. Okay, you ready?
I can read Genesis 1:1 without you pulling your phone out.
No. Please pull it out.
Okay.
You were about to pull your phone out for that?
Yeah, but hang on. Okay, you got Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right?
You didn't know that?
Mm-mm.
Ay-ay-ay.
I thought you were pulling your phone up to read Genesis 1:1. I was like, I can.
I am, but I want to go just a little further than 1:1.
I was like,
can you quote 1:2?
Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it talks about he's sitting there, the earth is form, without void. He's going over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. I don't think the creation of the universe was day one. The glorious thing about really understanding Christology and theology is it does not matter how old the world is. It only matters that Christ died for my sins on the cross, and I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
And he rose again 3 days later to pay for my sins. That is what matters in Christology and theology. I don't think, personally, that the universe was created on day one. I think the universe was created, many other beings were created, the spiritual orders were created. Then he made man a time later. That was day one for humanity, not the universe.
Well, day one for humanity. Humanity wasn't created.
But that's what I'm saying. That was day one for humans, for us, for the world he created it. The angels fail, most of them, before creation. Now, if they fell before creation, but nothing was here before day one, where did they go? Where did they come from? Why was Satan mad when we were created? I mean, for one, we're going to judge them. You know, like, we will become like the angels and be judged and sitting over them. Like, that would piss me off. If I was this great magnitude order of created being, like, one angel come down at camp in one of the biblical stories. I think it was Hezekiah. When they come to the wall, and they were like, we're going to do this to your people. And he was like, quit speaking Hebrew. My people don't need to hear it.
Yeah.
And then they gave the declaration. Right. And then he went to the temple, laid it before God, and was like, yo, they're mocking you. And we need saving. One angel come down and wiped out an entire army of like 85,000 people in one night. That's one. And that wasn't even like a high order angel. That's just a little dude. Two angels come down and smoked Sodom and Gomorrah with nuclear level power. Just smoked it. That was two angels. Now, Satan fell Satan was one of the highest orders of angels, very powerful, right? And then he was told, I'm going to create meat sacks and breathe my spirit into them, and they're going to be above.
That's not entirely accurate. God didn't refer to us as meat sacks.
But that's I'm speaking from Satan's perspective.
Okay.
You are this great, like, magnitude of magnitudes, orders of power. Not God level, but still way the heck beyond us. Yeah. And then you're told, I'm going to create these finite physical beings that cannot walk back and forth between the spirit world. They do not have access to the powers you have. They don't have the intelligence you have, the lifespan you have, nothing. Then I'm going to love them beyond anything else, and they're going to be my favorite creatures.
Probably suck.
Yeah.
I'd be pissed.
I mean, that's part of what happened. You know, and then he creates woman. Right? And even the angels looked at the daughters of men, seeing that they were fair. And were like, I got to have me some of that. And that's where you get. And then I've had people be like, well, the Bible, the Genesis 6 thing that it talks about, it's not really this and that and the other. I'm like, okay, if you want to go just biblical perspective, that's fine. But why does every culture in history have legends of gods breeding with women?
I mean, what do you, Samson?
Well, Samson was the spirit of God come upon him.
I know, but like it's still, you know, it's that same concept, you know?
Yeah. Hercules. But I mean, like Hercules, you know, that was the giants throughout history. And like most of the giants, like you go pre-diluvian, which is pre-flood, right? If you look at what the giants were known for, like height-wise and everything, like you hear Goliath, you think 9 to 13 foot, right? Now we're talking 20 to 40 feet giants. And because of their size and stature, you're looking at, say you got a 30-foot tall giant. He's going to be 15-foot broad.
Yeah.
And they're athletic. They're not, because like people think of giants, they either think of what we have a lot of now, which is genetic mutations. Like it's not a genetic race of giants. It's your DNA going bastardized. It causes you to be a true giant. Mm-hmm. Like the 9-foot tall man, the 10-foot tall man and stuff like that. Even Andre the Giant. Your bodies are not designed for that. We're humans. We're supposed to be certain sizes. Those are genetic anomalies. They are detrimental to your health. We're talking about races of giants that were genetic giants, which means when you had a baby, it was not a genetic mutation or screw-up that caused you to be a giant. No, that's just how you're supposed to be. Even look at Goliath. Most things say, you know, 9 to 13 and a half foot tall, depending on which measurement for the, you know, standard cubit or whatever you use. 13 foot tall.
Yeah.
Okay. And a warrior. His spear was what, 225 pounds? Look it up. Yes, please. 225 pounds. That's his spear. A spear was not a weapon that you carried into battle and it was so heavy you couldn't pick it up. You didn't carry a spear into battle as you could wield it like an actual spear.
Okay, this says 600 shekels, which is estimated to be between 15 and 16 pounds.
That was the head of the spear.
Oh, yeah. It does say spearhead. But still, like, I wouldn't think that the staff would be 200 compared.
You got a 13-foot tall staff that can support a 15 to 20-pound head.
Hang on.
Probably just pure metal.
And slinging it around. His shield was huge. But, I mean, even think about a 13-foot tall man that has the same agility and speed and strength.
Could have been as heavy as 26 pounds.
Well, I mean, still swing a 10-pound hammer.
Yeah.
On a spear stick.
And yeah.
50 it's going to have to be that big around. It's going to have to be that big around to hold up a 10-pound hammer on as long as a spear is.
Yeah.
And 50 or 60-pound spearhead? Is that what you said? 15?
15 to 25, depending on what, you know. That's just the head, okay? And then for the spear, like if you look at most spears back then, they were a little taller than the person wielding them. So, you, like you were saying, you're looking at 15, 25 pounds just at the head, and then you've got to have a staff big enough and long enough to support him actually hitting people with it.
Yeah, because it's got to be, I mean, you don't want it to snap.
And his you have a guy, he's basically holding a small
125
tree.
125
pounds. 125 pound shield. Do you know what a shield was? It wasn't a defensive weapon. You were taught to sling your shield, hit people in the throat with your shield, bash skulls with your shield, run up and slams your shield into people. So he's got a 125 pound shield that he can throw around like a frisbee. You're not looking at, like, people don't take that into account because you look at modern giants.
Are you talking about Goliath?
Yeah. I'm just talking about a 13-foot tall giant. Imagine a 13-foot tall man that is as athletic as one of your
and then this little
strongest
short
warriors
stack
now.
Comes up there with a freaking sling and a rock and lays you out like you're nothing.
Mm-hmm. And then he hacked his head off, too. You know why he hacked his head off? There's a lot of people that believe, and I kind of agree with them, the giants, because of who they were and they were genetic mutations made by angels specifically for a purpose, that they had healing abilities. There's a lot of legends of the giants being very hard to kill because they could heal. He hits him in the head with a rock, sinks it into his forehead, and then immediately runs over and chops his head off. Why would you chop his head off? Keep him from healing.
That or he was secretly a serial killer and we just didn't know.
Yeah, David just, I mean, David killed his tens of thousands. Even David's, like, you take David's mighty men, okay? David's mighty men and all his generals and stuff throughout that, they killed Goliath's brothers. And that's biblical. You can read all that in the Bible. Like, and you got to actually realize what you're reading.
Imagine you're, like, you get in your army and, like, you see this guy and he's, like, you know, he's got to be gruff looking, but he's, like, you know, he's 6 foot, he's muscular, and he goes, yeah, I killed a 13-foot giant with a sword.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like,
no, not even a sword. I used a rock.
Lay me out.
Do you remember when we went to
Talking about not even David. I'm just talking about his generals.
Yeah. You remember Bill Lee's inauguration when they had all the state troopers there? Did you see the one?
With the AR or whatever?
No. The one that looked like he was made for killing people. You have troopers. And these guys are all as big as me. They're 6 foot, 6'3", 200. Like, these are some good troopers, right? They have one guy standing amongst them that is probably every bit of 7 foot. His arms are as big around as my thighs. And his uniform is, like, just stretched to the max. And he's got muscles ripping. And I mean, this dude's freaking ripped. And I'm sitting there going, man, I wouldn't want to be one of the protesters they're going to line up against. But that is just a dude that's a foot taller and built. And, like, I'm a big dude. I'm 6'3 and 250, 260. Like, I'm not a small guy. That guy made me feel like a child. Now, let's add another 6 feet onto him. Give him the same strength and abilities. And that's what you don't like. Andre the Giant was a big man, and he never worked out. He was a wrestler and everything. But, like, there's people that just talk about his just sheer strength just because of his size. Like, he flipped a car upside down because some people made him mad over at a pub one time. Like, hilarious story to listen to. But, like, you're looking at a being that is physically fit, and then his size and strength go hand in hand.
Andre the Giant was kind of slow.
He could grab. I guarantee you, Goliath could have grabbed me and thrown me like a rag doll.
Why'd they make him do that in Princess Bride? Why'd he walk so wonky?
He was really bad off health-wise.
Yeah, health-wise.
And then his, like, back.
And see,
really
that's what I'm saying.
Shape.
Even his size and stuff that he was.
Yeah. When he catches Buttercup
not
at the
designed
very
to handle
end
it.
Scene, they had to, like, build a special harness because he couldn't hold her weight. Like, his back was so fragile.
That's a
that
genetic mutation. Now, you take away that mutation that's a detriment to you and make it to where you're actually a genetic race of giants. It's terrifying to think about the power. Like, and especially in battle, because you didn't shoot at this fool. You didn't. You could fling arrows at him if you wanted to. How many are you going to have to sink into him? But then again,
I mean, think about the draw weight you'd have to sink a weight into something that big.
Yeah, to get past his spear. Think about when you have the guy in the midst of battle that grabs a person up and starts using him to beat other people with. Like, just the sheer psychological terror of running up on a creature that does not give a piss about you. Grab you by the head and just go, done. That's why all the armies of Israel were terrified. the armies of Israel were not weak dudes. Like, they were some of the baddest of the bad all throughout Israel's history. Like, once you get to the king's era, even Abraham. When Abraham went and got Lot back, he went and whipped five kings.
Yeah.
And he didn't just go whip five kings. He went and whipped five kings that just got done whipping everybody else. They done a massive campaign, like mostly around the known world, like just beating the piss out of everybody. They took Abraham's nephew, and he's like, come on, guys. 300 of his men. Come on, guys. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. I was like, wasn't it like not even close?
Yeah. And these aren't warriors. These aren't like, you know, men that are trained for battle. These are men that are just in my household, part of my crew, that I'm going to say, come on.
I think he did keep his men trained.
No, it said they were trained for battle. Yes, they were trained, but think about that. Like, how many could you go against five nations right now?
Yes.
How many nations with their armies could actually go against a coalition of five nations? And that's what you're looking at for, like, the Israelite people throughout history. But, like, when you look at things, like, people do it in today's perspective. Like, no, this is a completely different ball game. And just, like, this year, and that's 13 foot tall, okay? Now, imagine the pre-Diluvian and, like, even throughout all the other histories and legends of a 20, 30, 40 foot tall giant.
Yeah.
He pick your car up and throw it at you. And there ain't nothing you're going to do about it.
I'd win. All right.
The ones in Kandahar, some of the stories I've heard about them, and this is modern times that I've, you know, read some of these accounts. But you're talking about, like, military men that are basically like, I was told I never could talk about it, but, like, screw that, I'm not in the military anymore. And, like, yeah, I watched him pick one of my buddies up and just squish him. You know, somebody else shoot him in the face, and there's 50 freaking people shooting him in the face. We basically had to decapitate him to kill him. Come out of a cave roaring and screaming and throwing people. What are you going to do about that? I mean, that's...
Nothing. You're doing nothing about that.
Og, king of Bashan, had six fingers. He was bigger than Goliath, is what they think. So, like, he was a whole king of peoples. Caleb and Joshua, and then the other 10. They go into the promised land. They go to spy it out. What do they come back and say? Look those verses up for me, please. They don't come back and say, these are big people. They're giants. These are really strong. They're giants. And you got a lot of people that will say, well, Joshua and what's his name? Caleb. We're the only two telling the truth of God's got this. God's got us. Joshua and Caleb, if I remember right, they didn't turn to the other guys and say they're lying. They're just normal people. I said, it doesn't matter that they're giants. God's got us. Abraham, if you read, like, Abraham's walking through all that land during his time, right? God says, I'm going to give all this to you. And if you read the list of people that are in that land, they're all giants. They're all the biblical races of giants. Why would they all be in a promised land, though? Why were they created in the first place? Why would you bastardize human DNA? Your seed and his seed will be at war. It was a curse. God knew, or Satan knows, that his defeat would come through the line of men. So what better way than to guarantee that your defeat can't come through that line unless you bastardize the DNA? Noah was perfect in all his generations. That doesn't mean righteous. Like, if you study the Hebrew meaning, like, it kind of leans more towards genetic perfection. No foreign DNA, no anything else. And, like, a lot of people think I'm crazy. And the greatest part about it is, it doesn't matter. If I'm right, cool. If they're right, cool. God's still God, and Jesus still died for me. And I think that's where most people get, like, confused, is they're like, we can't study this because it goes against the Bible. Does it really go against the Bible? No. Even, like, if you believe differently, if, as long as you really believe, you're fine. What you got?
All right, so I wanted to, like, actually look it up from Scripture.
That's what I was wanting you to do.
Yeah, well, I had to Google it and figure out where exactly it is, and then...
You got it.
But this is Numbers chapter 13 and verse 26. And this is the report on the exploration. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devoured those living in it. All the people we saw there were of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." And that is the New International Version, NIV.
They come back, and they said, "The descendants of Anakim are there. The Nephilim," which Anakim were descendants of the Nephilim. They come back, and they said, "There's giants in the freaking land. We're terrified because we're looking at giants. You're looking at 20-foot tall dudes, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-foot tall dudes. You're looking at an entire race." They go on a land, and they're like, "Holy we look like toddlers to these people."
Look more like then a toddler.
In chapter 14, everybody is upset. I'm summing up. And then
everybody's all butthurt
about it. All the Israelite people are upset and tearing their clothes and who's going to lead us and blah, blah, blah. And then in verse 5 says, "Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, 'The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them.'"
And this is conveniently, what, 400-something years after Abraham walked through it and God said he'd give it to him? "I'm going to make you my people. You're going to be a great nation. You're going to be my people, and the whole world will be blessed because of you." This is to Abraham. Demons were there, and they were listening. And then he's walking through the land. He says, "This is the land I'm going to give your descendants. This is where your home is going to be," right? 400 years later, they come back to take that home, and all of a sudden, it's filled with giants that are the Nephilim, which Nephilim is a hybrid between an angel and a person, where they have offspring, right?
Yeah.
And all the fallen angels that were kicked out of heaven or left heaven, I mean, it actually just says that some of them just left their habitation on purpose. They looked down, seen women, were like, "Got to get some of that." Like, God made women pretty on purpose. He done a really good job. But then they come down and did this, right? And then they get punished for it. Like, a large part of the flood was because of them, too. Like, it talks more about their idiocy than it does people's wickedness when you read the flood account. But, like, now all of a sudden the entire land that's supposed to be the Israelites is all of a sudden filled with giants. Why? Satan knew. He's like, "I'm going to make sure that they can't because we got giants." And God was like, "I don't care. We got marching. Let them walls fall."
Marching and vibrations.
40 years of...
But then it also says, though, that he drove a lot of them out before they even got there with hornets, pestilence, wild animals.
Murder hornets?
I mean, think about it. I don't care how big of a person you are. You get enough hornets getting after you and you know, stinging bees and creatures. Like, you might be like, "Okay, I've got stung 5,000 times this week. I'm leaving this cave. This cave sucks.
Yeah,
I'm going to go over to the cave over there."
That cave probably sucked. Yeah, I would not live there.
Yeah. And then, like, there's people that are like, "Well, does it matter that there's giants?" I mean, kind of, yeah. The Bible says they're in there. Anytime I talk to people, I'm like, well, this don't exist, demons don't exist, this don't exist. I'm like, okay, but you're a Christian, you say you believe the Bible.
But I mean, even if it doesn't exist, does exist. In the end, who cares?
I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's cool to think about if it does exist or doesn't exist, but like...
The reason I think it's important is because I've talked to people, and like, if you're not a Christian and don't believe in the Bible, doesn't matter to me at all. But like, if you tell me I believe the Bible is the truth, right? And then I say, okay, so you believe in angels? Yes. Okay, well, what about demons? We're like, well, I don't really believe in demons and Satan. Like, I think he's just an alien. Like, I've had people tell me this. Like, I full-on believe the Bible 100%. Okay, well, what about fallen angels and demons? Well, I don't really think they're real. I think that's just an allegory. And it's like, are you retarded?
Yeah, those people might be stupid.
People discount Genesis, okay? Because, like, the earth is way older than Genesis. Very well could be. Doesn't mean we are. I think there's vast periods of human history that have been erased by humans and massive catastrophes and flood. Does that change the Bible? Absolutely not. And that's what people don't understand. Because me and Tasia were talking about this the other day. She's like, okay, so on the biblical timelines, the earth is 6,700 something years old. That's if you go like genealogically. That doesn't say how long we were in the garden. But if...
Like, not very long.
Yeah. If I erase history right now, right, and I don't even have to erase history. Say I cut off an entire populace's access to the internet, which is very new. And then I just raise the next generation saying it's this year. Okay. It's 2025 right now. But the next generation doesn't know that. And I raise them all and I say it's now 1025.
Yeah.
If that entire generation is raised and believes it's 1025, when they write their writings and stuff, they're going to write it as if that's the year. So even biblically, I think biblically history could have been erased during Bible times, and it doesn't change the theology and the lineup of the Bible at all. Because if you believe it's this year and you're writing from that perspective, I don't think God would reveal to you that you've been duped and there's 700 years of history missing. It doesn't freaking matter.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's my, you know, kind of just, and honestly, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, which was a good account of actual history.
Yeah.
Why would it matter what year he believed it was then or not? He doesn't say what year it is during a lot of the other stuff, you know, during the history of the first five books. It doesn't matter. Could have been 20,000 years before the flood. Still doesn't change why it happened and that it happened. So, like, I think there's a lot of stuff that people get so dogmatic on that, but then they stuff other stuff that's plainly spoken, they won't. They're like, well, I just can't believe that. That's too fanciful. And it's like, are you gang signing me?
I am.
What are we at? I feel like we're pretty.
About 1.5.
Okay, that's about right. Maybe this week can make up for last week. I get a lot of comments. People like, you're an idiot. I'm like, okay, cool.
You did?
No.
Are our mics moving?
It's still moving.
I just wanted
to... Is it in color?
Yes.
Okay, because that's what matters. A lot of them move.
Why is there one that says Tay's mic? Because it's not moving.
Because I set you up a specific mic over here that when we get ready to set up for guests and stuff, I'm going to...
But I'm still bouncing on the other.
Correct, one, so. Because okay. You're not on Tay's mic right now.
Gotcha.
You're on
gotcha.
Tay's mic right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
America.
All right. Do all your like, subscribe stuff.
Like, subscribe, share, comment. Don't do any of that. I really don't care.
Do things.
Do whatever you want at this point. The world's your oyster. And
climb a ladder.
Why has it got to be an oyster, though? Them know. Things are so nasty.
I don't like them either. And I hope you enjoy.